Hey everyone, welcome back to the Market a Pitch podcast. So glad that you guys are with us again for another juicy episode. I am Corey Davis, your marketing advertising expert, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Yesenia Reynoso.
Why, thank you, Corey. So glad to be here. Hello, Marketer Pitch family. Welcome to Volume 21, aka Episode 9 of our podcast. We are very excited to give you another fun-filled episode as we continue on our Season 2 March.
Yes, and I first want to just start off the episode and also the month. This is March, by saying a happy Women's History Month to all the lovely women we have around the globe listening. So definitely thank you for your contributions to society, and thank you for just being you. So, you know, and then like in years past, let's not use this month to only focus on gender equality and pay equity. I know as an African-American, people like to bring up Black issues during February, during Black History Month, and then March, April, May, June, no one talks about it. But similar for Women's History Month, let's focus on these issues every day. Let's use not only this month to focus on gender equity and pay equity, let's use every day to fight for those issues for not only women, but for all of us. When women do better, the world does better. An equal world is a just world. And even going specifically, because this is an advertising, marketing, and PR podcast, in our industry, women make up the lion's share, the majority of the workers. And they should be paid as the majority over the men. So right now, I know over like for like, women make less than men in our industries, which should not be the case. They make up the majority. Women should not only be equal to what men are, but in certain capacity should be making even more for the level of work they put in.
I have tears in my eyes right now. That was such an incredible, inspirational monologue. Thank you, Corey, for those outstanding words. And as a woman, especially a woman of color, to be celebrating Women's History Month with my fellow sisters across all industry spectrums, I've realized the true power in us as women is through our voice and our actions. We are celebrating this month to acknowledge, recognize, and honor all of the contributions we have made across our society and the continued fight towards a fair, equitable future. Obviously, on March 8th, we had International Women's Day, and the 2022 theme was hashtag break the bias. And so I'm calling for all individuals, male and female, our allies across the board, let's continue to break those systematic barriers and hashtag break the bias whenever we see them, and use our individual and collective actions to destroy them, and also rebuild and overhaul all of the systems that are preventing women from advancing across the board. It is time for us to raise our voice, lift our power, inspire, motivate, and to make and to do a real difference in all of our lives. We are the future, ladies. And Corey, it is, you know, men and allies such as you, you know, that help us to get to where we want to be, to continue being, you know, that, you know, to be that motivator. And it's always, you know, it's always great to, you know, to have allies such as you and everyone across the marketing and PR world to be able to continue telling our stories through marketing and PR realms and to continue spotlighting these all critically important issues.
Wow. You raised that monologue for anything I said, throw it out the window. You said that perfectly. Like, seriously, that was a great speech and a great meaning behind that. And just thank you for everything you do, Yesenia.
Thank you, Corey, for being such an amazing ally. I cannot do this without you. And to all of my, my male friends and colleagues as well, thank you also for your support and for your critical stance on Women's History Month. And of course, as you mentioned, Women's History Month should be celebrated all year, like with every, like with every other celebration.
Yes. And with that, I also want to say happy spring, everyone. It is officially springtime. I'm so glad, even though I do live in Los Angeles, so it's springtime 365 for us. But just, I do like the weather getting warmer. So for me, it's going from 50 to 70. But even for, your East Coasters, like you in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey area, Yesenia, you guys are getting warmer. So I know you're happy to see spring, more daylight hours. I don't have to finish work in the evening. So this weather makes me very happy.
I cannot even begin to tell you how much of a smile it puts to my face, because I've been waiting for spring, summer-like weather since all winter. And we've been going through a roller coaster of either spring and or winter weather. I guess this is Mother Nature's way of getting rid of any remnants of winter. But today here in New Jersey, where I am currently situated, it is actually 72 degrees, and tomorrow is going to be raining, but it doesn't matter. Spring is here, and I, for one, cannot wait to actually be outside, see the flowers bloom, and enjoy weather.
Yes, likewise, so can I. And then also, really quick, I feel like March is such a busy, so much stuff is happening. March Madness is also here. So the tourney started off with a shocker, with number 2 Kentucky going down against number 15, ranked St. Peter's, who I've actually just learned is a school in New Jersey. But do you have a pick? Are you interested in March Madness? Does it, you don't care?
I'm not a fan of March Madness, in all honesty, Corey. College basketball is not really my thing. I don't follow it as extensively as others do, but I sincerely hope that this year's tournament is filled with madness in a pleasantly good way, because I definitely do love the upsets. And so best of luck to all the teams who will be participating this year, and may the best one win. And I also want to... Yes. Go on, Corey.
No, you're fine. I was going to say my pick is Arizona this year. So I just want to mark it out for the audio. So everyone listening, I'm saying Arizona. So we're going to come back to the next episode and see if our prediction was right.
All right, Corey, I'm going to be counting on you. I have it written down, Arizona. So crossing fingers that you hit the jackpot.
Hopefully. But what were you going to say?
I just want to quickly point out that on top of March Madness, last episode we talked about the MLB lockout, and I have a quick update for you that since our episode, a couple of days later,
I want to stop you right there, Yesenia, because that's actually a perfect segue to our appetizer segment. So with that, let's get into our meal for today, because as always, Yesenia, she was a little spoiler, she's a little hungry, but. With our appetizer, as you know, it's our perspective, our take on a trending news topic. But today I'm going tapas style, because I'm, clearly you're saying it's hungry, but I'm also hungry. We're going to give you guys multiple appetizers of hot topics and our takes on them.
Oh my God.
And then we're going to move to the meat of the show, which is our entree segment. And I know for sure we're going to have time for the dessert. So with that, let's take a break and let's get into our appetizer segment. Welcome back to the Marketer Pitch Podcast, episode 9. So again, we're getting started with our appetizer segment. And you guys already know from listening to the last episode, you're seeing us over the moon when this news broke. But the MLB lockout is officially over. It took more than 3 months and multiple deadlines for delaying the regular season before finally Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association ended their stalemate and came to terms on a new collective bargaining agreement. So the biggest change is two additional playoff teams, meaning 12 and 30 teams will reach the postseason this year. Originally, the owners, they wanted a 14-team format, but they didn't get it. It was a compromise, so they went to 12. And on the economic side, which I know is really the meat of it, the minimum major league salary will go up $150,000 from around $560,000 to around plus thousand. And the luxury tax goes up, which I know is also a big issue, up to 230 million this year. And then in the next season goes up to 241 million. So with all of that, we're all set. We're all good. Spring training is happening. The season is going to be good to go. So Yesenia, you know, you're our resident expert. Do you think fans, such as yourself, will forget this whole mess by opening day? Or do you think there will be lingering resentment? And then overall, give us your hot take. What do you think about this whole thing?
First and foremost, I just want to say that this particular episode, I've been nothing but a spoiler since I have been so eagerly excited about the return of baseball that my summer has been complete that I really wanted to tell all to you and our Meowkita Pitch family without realizing that Core already was reading my mind. So I just wanted to get that out there. But in all honesty, first and foremost, as a baseball fan, I am thrilled that baseball is back. And I knew that from a reputation standpoint, if this would have dragged on even further, the catastrophic consequences of both the players and the owners not coming together to get an agreement in place would have done detrimental damage to the sport. Is it a good collective bargaining agreement? Well, both sides did came together with a compromise. Both parties did not get what they ultimately wanted. But at least there was some progress made on certain areas of the game that fans should be very much looking forward to. In terms of overall sentiment, I think from the general fan standpoint, the fact that baseball is back and they didn't lose any more games, I think it's something that, you know, they only lost like only a week and they end up getting we're all going to get a full 162 game season. Those games got rescheduled. So it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really no harm or foul on that front. But I can't help but wonder from a communication standpoint, because the sport is legitimately losing interest. And some of these changes that are implemented, like the universal DH, which clocks will soon be implemented across the league as of 2023. The luxury tax has been reset and it's going to be increasing every year. Minimum salaries also has gone up as well. And the playoff system has been expanded from 10 to 12. I am not sure if they have done enough to address the more immediate needs to try to rebuild the sport in terms of engagement and interest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I do see that's two separate issues. So I see this agreement as one issue with the players, the MLB directly. But I think the issue you're talking about is solely on Major League Baseball. The players have nothing to do with what does Major League Baseball specifically, what do the owners need to do to get the general public interested in again? And what rules do they need to change so you can get more people invested into MLB? And one, I'm actually curious to hear your take. And I know from a advertising standpoint, more games mean more revenue. But do you think that having more games means less people are interested in the sport because it's so much to follow up, or do you think that's not really big of an issue?
I think personally, I would have preferred if they decreased the number of games because 162 games is too long. You're asking people to religiously follow the sport, whether you are a diehard or a casual fan, for 6+ months to follow teams and see their progress. I think if they would have dwindled it down to let's say 154 games, which was the original count prior to the increase to 162 during the expansion era, I think it would have generated a lot more interest and, more importantly, a lot more urgency. I also believe that, you know, with the collective bargaining agreement set for another 5 years, I think this kind of gives, you know, fans and baseball a reset in terms as to the overall sentiment of the game. I'm always been, a believer in America's pastime. And I definitely see how much of an impact it does to everybody because it's a generational sport. But I think in terms of like, the overfall of games, baseball is a regional sport, Corey. And so much of the, much of the revenue and profits are going to be coming from these regional networks. And so now with people not, especially the younger generation, because people are so, are so much on the go, people basically want to be, want to be catching up on the highlights through streaming, through small clips and not watching the long games, because on average, some of these games are 3 hours. Sometimes yeah. even longer. And so many people just are not going to have the time to, sit down and watch a game. Instead, they're going to be, they want to, see the highlights. And so we're also seeing, on top of that, we're also seeing streaming services also making another huge chunk of money as, baseball continues to expand to other mediums. Just recently, after the announcement of the new collective bargaining agreement, MLB announced its partnership with Apple TV, where they're going to be doing doubleheader games every Friday nights. So, and so, yes, some people do have Apple TV, but the question is it, are they making it, fan friendly for people to immediately access? Because many people just don't have that. And that's also another area that, MLB needs to think about is the reach. How far are they willing to expand the game? And they're also going to be playing internationally as well across cities, across Europe and Asia as well and Latin America to increase the fan engagement. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see in terms of, in financial revenue and engagement, as to how do they want to expand the game at a time when interest again has been going down.
You could have said it better. You could have said it better than me. So, it's an interesting perspective. And I just want to say Major League Baseball needs you as their communicator. They need you on the front lines negotiating things, because you totally get it. And you totally get why it's a stalemate and why they've been so dogmatic about not changing, because of the old guards and what they need to do to actually make those changes and make it stick. Because again, I go back to, what does MLB look like in 10 years? I feel like Major League Baseball and MLS, Major League Soccer, are kind of doing the opposite of each other. One's going up, one's going down. And I would hate to lose out to soccer. I agree with you with MLB.
Absolutely. And we talked about this in our last episode. For those who, who are interested and or are new to the marketer pitch world, we talked about the ramifications of the MLB lockout and how this affects viewership across the rest of the sports, especially with the rise of MLS. Please tune into our to Volume 20, aka Episode 8. But to quickly wrap this up, MLB is indeed facing an identity crisis between the old and the new. You got the old guard who desperately wants to keep the traditions of the game versus the new generation who wants to see real change, make the game much more faster, and many other elements. So great way to wrap this segment up, Corey.
Awesome. And we're still in the segment, because remember, we're doing tapas and not going to the entree. So for our next hot topic, AMC Theaters, I don't know if you've seen the new Batman movie yet, but AMC's theater CEO Adam Aaron dropped a huge bombshell over the past couple of weeks when he announced to his exhibitors that they're going to start charging more for tickets to the Batman movie, which was the number one movie in America for almost 2 or 3 weeks now, made a lot of money. But they're charging more tickets as part of a pricing experiment. So the tickets in Los Angeles was the first market, unfortunately for me, to experience this. But the tickets are $1.50 more than regular tickets. So do you think this will bring back moviegoers, or do you think help theater stay afloat? What's your opinion on this one? Because for me, I'm thinking, wow, like in this economy with supply chain issues and inflation, they're really going to raise movie prices out by $1.50 when a lot of people don't like going to theaters. But a lot of people want to go see this movie.
I find this so funny with and you said it yourself, given the circumstances that we're currently going through, the rise of inflation, gas prices, the basic necessities, everything is going up. The very last thing that we need companies, especially those in the entertainment sector, to be raising prices at a time when, you know, the majority of American citizens, their wallets are literally being crunched up. This is the very last thing we need. I am by no means the very last thing that I want to do is to be raising prices on people, because right now many people are literally living paycheck to paycheck. And not being able to afford the most basic needs. And so, given that companies are like, are engaging in price gouging or any other kind of price increase practices just to further fatten their wallets, I think, you know, this is just another example of that, at a time when in all reality, we should be lowering prices, and giving people relief. We also talked about as well, you know, the changes in the cinema exhibition industries, about how movie theaters are now going to be transforming themselves and becoming much more of a blockbuster moving going experience. Because now as people, you know, realize with the rise of streaming, the rise and sort of and solidification of streaming services, many people don't really need to be spending extravagant amounts of money to go see, you know, a romantic comedy, a drama, or any genre, unless if it's not a blockbuster that's going to be making the major, you know, the major green in front of a movie theater screen. And so, but we also have to understand that many people, like for these blockbuster movies, like The Batman that just recently debuted, or any Marvel movie, or any major, you know, any major blockbuster film, most of these companies, do not be surprised, they're going to raise their prices up, because that's, you know, because they know those are moneymakers. Fans are genuinely interested and are willing to spend extra, you know, to ensure they get to consume that content. So it's a double-edged sword. But in all honesty, this is what the movie going industry is transforming itself to. It's the, you know, the movie going experience has forever changed. And I find it kind of funny because Ben Affleck in a recent interview said a couple of months ago that, I think it might've been him, or another actor, please again, correct me if I'm wrong, that the movie going experience is now going to be more for the blockbusters, not for like the small to mid-size indie and other genre films.
But play off of that, actually, and to play devil's advocate to this experiment that AMC is doing, is it could actually help those smaller indie films, because of the variable pricing means something's going to be more money and then something's going to be less. So because of a Batman or a Marvel movie, if you're going to pay a little more, maybe it's some of these smaller films who I like to go see indie films, and admittedly I do like a romantic comedy or two, but maybe those films are going to be a little cheaper or stay the same price because of the theater can make the money from the larger blockbuster movies. So instead of a lot of these smaller movies, theater saying, I don't want this Ben Affleck led small indie movie in my chain because I'm not making money, they can say, I can have Ben Affleck playing on one screen because I made up for it on these blockbuster Marvel movies on screens 5, 6, and 7. This is kind of similar to how a lot of college sports teams stay in business, where they rely on the revenue for football and basketball to keep all the programs like golf, tennis, you know, baseball afloat. So this could be a new wave of movie going.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, right now we're in the experimentation period. And I think a lot of companies are asking, you know, what's the ROI, aka return of investment? Is it, you know, am I going to reap the rewards from an investment standpoint if I were to go in this direction or in another? And, you know, as, you know, the movie going experience and as well as the cinema industry continues to evolve post-COVID, we're going to be seeing, you know, a lot of changes that are going to be reflective on that. And so, you know, many movie studios from a marketing and PR standpoint are going to have to, you know, carefully analyze the results and see, is it something that's going to, you know, that's going to benefit both on a credibility and a profit/revenue standpoint, and how can we market and or publicize ourselves to ensure that those marketing and or PR goals can be met.
Yes. So with that, we will put a pin on that one and just look forward to how this is going to develop over the next 3 or 4 months. I will say quickly, so Regal actually did this with Spider-Man. The only difference was Regal kept her mouth shut and they didn't announce it. They just rolled it out. So now that AMC is actually making a big stink about this and doing the press rounds of talking about it, I'm curious to see how the other chains like Cinemark and some of the other smaller ones, they react to this change.
And from a quickly from a PR standpoint, it makes you kind of wonder, since Regal kept their, you know, kept quiet on the price increase, maybe ABC, you know, AMC should have taken a few notes and you know, maybe just, you know, quietly rolled it out just to test it out. But I do appreciate that they were transparent about it, even though they're getting backlashed.
Agree, and I definitely appreciate the transparency.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So going there, I have one more tapas we got to get through, and we'll make this a quick one. I know we're running short on time, so I really just want to get your opinion to almost expand again on episode 20, when we talked briefly about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and just the tragedy and the despair we're currently seeing. One of the issues we talked about was how businesses are responding, specifically around how a lot of businesses like McDonald's and Apple and Visa are shuttering operations in Russia. They say they don't want to advertise products, they don't want to advertise at all, or they don't want to operate in these countries. Now, Nestle, over the past week, are doing the opposite. They came out, and they're came out to a lot of backlash, actually, in a call for a boycott, because the food giant came under fire for saying that they will not stop business in Russia. The Ukrainian prime minister, they even called them to say to stop your $1.8 billion in sales to Russia. It's not worth it. But Nestle said that they'll stop selling their coffee and sell Pellegrino water in Russia, but they're going to continue selling baby food and pet food there. So now there's a big stink. People are asking for a boycott. It's a PR nightmare. So you're saying it really quick, because I know we're short on time. What's your thoughts on brands, on them doing this? Do you think they should have stopped?
Oh boy. I mean, we knew something of this caliber was going to happen, where a company was going to go against the narrative, for revenue purposes. But we already know, due to the very toxic environment that we're living in, the immediate backlash came very swift. It's something that, you know, from a crisis calm standpoint, at least Nesto was transparent about it. But I think they should have offered more details as to why they decided to maintain business in Russia. And for what purpose exactly? And while they did agree that they're going to be moving some of, you know, not sell some of their products, they're still keeping others in there. But at least they're products of necessity that are needed for kids and for pets. But either way, this is, you know, I'm sorry about this, my friend, quickly. But we knew something of this was going to happen. It's just, companies are going to have to tread water extremely carefully due to, you know, the backlash that they may be receiving that could be a hit for their reputations.
No, I agree. And no, I was just expanding on what you're saying. I think it's, and give you kudos, because, and for our listeners, if you do not know, Yesenia Reynoso is one of the greatest communicators and the greatest publicist out there. So find her on Y Communicate. She's very great. But I was going to say is what Nestle is needed is your skills, because it's a PR nightmare. Imagine if Nestle actually changed a narrative and said, we are going to still selling baby food and pet food in Russia because of we want to protect the Russian citizens and pets who have no involvement in the war itself. So we still want to make sure that babies are still being taken care of. Sure. And then all the other ones that don't have to deal with babies, we're going to stop selling. If that would have been the announcement, if it would not have been in backlash, people would have loved it, instead of saying, oh yeah, we're not going to stop selling overall in Russia. They should have been more specific, and they should have been more detailed, like you just said, on what they're going to stop doing.
Yeah, exactly. And they also have to add, with actual facts as to the reasoning, but you know, behind it, I think the execution slash rollout was messy. I think they should have been very direct and specific as to why they've decided to, you know, to maintain business in Russia. And this is something that other companies need to start learning. If you're going to be, again, due to the heavy narrative environment we're living in, if you're going to be doing something against the opposite, you better be ready with actual specifics and a clear messaging, the reason why you're doing what you're doing. Because if people are not getting a clear vision and instead are very stuck on their narrative, then it's it's a recipe for disaster. It's going to blow up in people's faces. So that's the very last thing that that we need to be doing. Plus, because there is no, we have not seen a need for compassion and empathy mix in with messaging, and it makes it also increasingly difficult for people to understand your perception because of the propaganda that's out there.
Yes. So with that, that's the final words of our appetizer segment. We're still in the appetizer segment, can you believe it or not? Those tapas are pretty cool. So this is actually a first. We have no time for the entree because we got full off the tapas. Of course, we have no time for dessert. So that brings us to the end of our episode 9, season 2 of Marketer Pitch Podcast. I just want to thank you guys for continuing to listen to us. Please find us on all apps, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Marketer Pitch Podcast. Please listen to us on all, everywhere where you get your normal podcasts, whereas Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud. But I just also want to thank you guys just for your listenership, and thank you guys for just bearing with us as we build this podcast to be even greater. So any last words before we sign off for the folks?
Well, I just want to say, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Volume 21, aka Episode 9. Please don't forget, if you have any comments, questions, or thoughts about our three rapid appetizer segments, please email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. And I promise you, the two other topics that were lined up for this episode, we are definitely going to be talking about them in the next episode. So that's going to be a carryover. I guarantee it. And don't forget, Marketer Pitch is available Thursday mornings on the Helium Radio Network. And please like, share, comment, and subscribe. Please hit those subscribe buttons and please leave a 5-star rating. We could really, use your feedback. And we definitely want to, and review-wise, we definitely want to hear from you. So please, all feedback is welcome. And also, Marketer Pitch is available on the Wisdom app. And again, we'll be unveiling plans at a future date as to what we're planning to do with that app. So download it and keep an eye out for those details.
Thank you, Yesenia. And everyone, have a great and a blessed day. And also, happy Women's History Month. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.